one, I'm going to be asking some questions, and I will be randomly singling out one of the adults here for a Bible question. And these will be really easy. I did find out the Word of God is very simple if you just open it up and read it and look at it. So I've been doing some real simple reading comprehension with the youth kids over the years to get them to understand the Scriptures. So I'm going to start with Miles. Miles, Job chapter 1, and you might not be able to turn there to know this one. You got to complete the phrase. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant?" Who? Who?
Job.
Sure it's not Job? Job? Is that what your dad says? Have you considered your job you're supposed to do? You know, doing the dishes or something? Okay, Bethany, Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. So complete the phrase. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken. What's the rest of that verse? Job chapter 1, verse 20. Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Here we go. Like I said, I'll say it again. You have to complete the phrase. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. What's the rest of that? Okay, keep looking for it. So and just so you know, I don't skip them. I wait for them. So I have to wait. Go ahead, turn there and turn to Job chapter 1 verse 20. That's why. So keep your Bibles out, because a lot of times they answer it, then they close it, and then I go back to them the next question, and they're like, "Oh, I'm not ready." So keep your Bible open. Job chapter 1. Okay, verse 20 and 21, complete the phrase. And the Lord gave, it says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. What's the rest of that verse? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here, read about Job. If you've ever had a bad day, I'm not convinced you had it worse than Job. Job had it really bad. And sometimes we complain a lot, and we complain about silly things like a flat tire or, you know, a little bit of sickness or this or that. Well, none of them have had, I'm looking around here, and I don't think anyone here, first of all, has had the riches that Job had taken away. You might have had some stuff taken away, but not everything. Job lost everything. He lost his kids, he lost his servants, he lost his sons, he lost everything in one day. But Job said, the Lord has gave, he has taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, so Coraline, Job chapter 2, verse 9. Who said, dost thou still retain thine iniquity? Curse God and die. Job's wife, that's right. And it's a lesson for both the husbands and the wives here. Husbands got to stay strong, and wives, of course, have to stay strong in the Word of God. But wives, when your husbands are going, and when you guys are going through tribulation, do not stray from God's truth and His Word. And don't stray from, and you know, it's a lot easier, just for the women out there, it's a lot easier for your man to stay faithful if you're supporting him biblically. And I'll be the first to say, because I'm a husband and a father, I'll be the first to say that I am not perfect, but it is a lot easier for me to serve God when my wife's behind me serving God with me and supporting me. But I'm grateful that Job stayed firm, even though at this time his wife did not. I'm grateful for that. And it would be a blessing, wives or women out there, that if your husbands aren't right with God, that you can say, the Lord hath taken, the Lord hath given, blessed be the name of the Lord, and stay strong. So all of us have to stay strong. But understand here in the Scriptures that I praise God that Job stayed faithful and God ended up blessing him. And we're going to find out and we understand what's going to happen later. So, Nevaeh, you ready? Job chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. What did Job want granted to him that he asked of God? Job chapter 2, verse 9. Do I got the wrong verse? Is it verse 6? Let me see here. I have Job 2, verse 9 here. Oh, I'm sorry. Job chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. Yeah, I have it written down. I just said the wrong one. Job chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. So what did Job ask of God? It says it in verse 9. Even that it would please God to destroy him. So what do you think that meant? So Job's going through a really, really tough time. And he asked of God to destroy him. Why do you think he would ask that? Now remember, he's going through a tough time right now. So why do you think he would ask that? Okay, to maybe free him from what he was going through. Aren't you glad that God did not grant the request of Job at this time? So we understand what's happening here. Job did say, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord." And he actually asked of God during this time that God just take my life. And I'm sure some of us here might have said that before in their life. Lord, whatever difficulty you might have been going through, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's financial, physical problems, the stress, whatever it might be, anxiety, whatever, discouragement, whatever it could be. And you might have asked of God, "Lord, just take my life." And if you're still here today, we should learn from the story of Job, be grateful that the Lord did not grant Job's request here. Because of this, Job ended up being blessed. And if Job didn't continue, we wouldn't be reading about it today. Right? And you know what's interesting? God gives us stories in the Bible that are true. They're not just fairy tale stories. These are true events that have happened. We will meet Job in heaven. And when I see Job, I'm going to go up to him and say, "Thank you for staying faithful. Because of you, I can always say in my life, it's not as bad as Job was." Right? And if you say, "Well, I can't go through this." Well, Job did. And he had it way worse than you. So to say, "Oh, I can't go through this right now," you're mocking God. And you're mocking the power that God can do. And the answer, of course, is yes, you can't, but God can get you through it. And we understand that. Okay, next question here. Bestie, Jocelyn. Job 13:15. "Though he slay me, yet will I," what? "Trust in him." Good job. Okay, I'm going to pick on an adult here. I'll pick on Josh. I can pick on him. I'll give you an easy one. Job 14, verse 1, complete the phrase. "Man that is born of woman is of few days and..." I did that because he's always a troublemaker, you know? So I did that. So you know what, man? You know how mankind... If you were to take an island that is perfect, and the trees are beautiful, the fruit's beautiful, there's animals there, and it's just completely beautiful, and you were to put man on that island and come back 100 years later, it would be a mess. Why is that? Because man is of few days, which this church has learned about that. We've lost many loved ones in the last year, this church has. And some of you here have lost some loved ones recently. Mankind is of very few days. It's like the wind that passeth by. It is like the vapor that you see and then it vanisheth away. Man is definitely of few days. But even worse than that, it says we're full of trouble. It's not the landscaping, it's not the ocean, it's not the animals why we're in trouble. It's because man was put on that island, and it's our fault. It's not God's fault, it's man's fault. And we always want to cast blame and everything, but it's man's fault. We are few of days and full of trouble. And next question here, who can I pick on? I'll ask Miriam this one. Okay, who said, I won't even get you the verse because you'll probably know this one. Who said, it's Job 16, 1 and 2, but you'll probably know this one. Who said, miserable comforters are ye all? Job said that. See, I had confidence you'd know that one, so that's good. Yeah, so Job, if we remember the story of Job, to add pain to Job's difficulty, Job lost everything. A servant comes up to him and says, hey, the Sabians came and wiped out your crops and they killed your sons. And you know, another person came and said, a storm came or whatever and destroyed this building and killed your family, your sons there and everything. And he lost everything. And then his wife curses him. And then he gets boils all over, head to toe. He gets boils all over him. And you know what's even worse than that is his four friends come to comfort him. Well, they didn't comfort him. They were trying to say, well, you must have some sin in your life because this is all happening to you. And Job is like, look, I'm definitely a sinner, but I'm right with God. Like, I can't think of any sin in my life that I have to repent of, but it is the Lord that judges me. So they had friends, Job had friends that judged him improperly. Right? He said that. And we got to be careful with that. So here we see that Job said, miserable comforters are ye all. So, Ben, did I ask you if you read your Bible this week? Oh, you thought you'd get away with it. Oh, hey, I missed two of you. Okay, Ben, how did you do? Tell the class how you did in your Bible reading this week. Every day, good job. Zeke, what about you? Every day? Okay, good job. Oh, Natalie, oh, thank you. I can't see. Everyone's in. Natalie, how'd you do in your Bible reading this week? Every day. Good job. So I've been drilling in the youth kids to read their Bible. Because remember, their faith and their hope, it can't be in me. It can't be in a person. Their foundation is the Word of God. So that's why I'm getting them to faithfully read their Bible, faithfully read, and all that. So thank you for doing that. But Ben, question for you. Job 19, 25, and 26, complete the phrase. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And thou, after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. You know, your body might go through a rough time on this earth, and you might be old and wrinkled, and you have diseases, and your body might not look that good. And you might be buried and worms are going to eat up your body eventually, however it can be done. But Job understood that through all of this this tribulation and all of this anguish he has gone through, and he knows that even if I die and worms destroy this body, Job believed that after this, that in his flesh, he is going to see God. And that takes faith. So Job believed in the resurrection. Understand this, Job did not have a church to be a part of. Job did not have the whole complete Word of God. So I would say that Job was a great man of faith. It takes less faith today to believe God and His Word than it did in Job's time. So you know what that really shows? Us believers are not very faithful compared to what they were back then. Job didn't have, he couldn't look back at the resurrection. Christ hadn't even died yet. And remember, Job is probably one of the oldest books written in the scriptures. It is probably, in the time of Genesis, it's pretty much, you know, understand it was obviously after the flood, obviously. But remember, you got to remember, Job is one of the oldest books written. But Job here said, even though worms destroy this body, I know that in my flesh, which means in the resurrection of our body, I know that in my flesh, I'm going to see God. Okay, so that's very important. Okay, so Zeke, question for you. Job 38, 32. Who said, canst thou guide Arcturus in his sons? Who said that? Actually, you'll have to read verse 1. Read verse 1 and then verse 32. And the Lord answered Job, and then you read verse 32. So who Who said that? No. Read verse 1. Go ahead and read verse 1. Who is speaking in this chapter? The Lord. So the Lord said, and he answered Job. So remember, Job 1 all the way to Job 37:24, the Lord has not spoken yet. Job has spoken, his servants have spoken, his friends, his wife, we all know what his wife said, right? And his sons aren't speaking anymore. They're dead. They're gone. Their time on this earth's over. The judgment is upon his sons. And we see here that his four friends come to help him, to comfort him. Well, they were horrible comforters, and they were actually, their judgment was not righteous. It was actually wrong. All of a sudden, Job chapter 38, the Lord speaks here for the first time. So in verse 32, he says, "Canst thou guide Arcturus in his sons?" So this is a cluster of stars traveling through our atmosphere right now. And aren't you glad that, and I've said this before, a small, or I would say one of your average-sized stars, you could say your sun, is 100,000 times bigger than the Earth. You could actually take the Earth and put it in the sun a million times. It's crazy. That's how big the sun is, right? It's huge. So can you imagine Arcturus, which is a giant star? That's an average-sized star. Arcturus and his sons can be 100,000 times bigger than that. So can you imagine this giant star and a cluster of stars behind it that are right now traveling through the universe? Aren't you glad that someone's controlling that? Aren't you glad for that? It's like giving a bunch of kids a baseball bat and some baseballs and tell them to go outside. You're going to have a broken window. It's just the way it is, right? Could you imagine if the Lord called you and said, "Hey, you know, I'm kind of busy this week. Could you just guide Arcturus and its sons just for a day?" I'd be like, "I can barely drive my car, let alone guide these sons." So that God's talking to Job and his friends saying, "Can you guide Arcturus and his sons?" And they're like, no, can't do that. And let me just ad-lib. He goes, "Well, then shut up then, okay?" In a nutshell, that's pretty much what he says. And, you know, he says some other things here that are very interesting. Okay, so who can I pick on now? Gibson, Job 40, verse 15 through 18. "What animal eateth grass as an ox, whose strength is in his loins, and moveth his tail as a cedar tree?" Did I get it right? Job chapter 40, verse 15 through 18. Yep, it says it in verse 15. Behemoth, that's right. So behemoth. And then Brianna, Job 41, verse 1. "The Lord asked Job if he could draw out who on a hook?" Canst thou draw out? Say it loud. Leviathan. Can you draw out Leviathan with an hook? So the Lord's not only saying about the suns, you know, "Were you there when the morning stars sung? Were you there when I created the foundations of the earth? Can you draw out Leviathan?" Leviathan is actually, it's the reference here is considered to be like the big giant T-Rex. And so here God's saying, "Can you do these things?" And mankind cannot do these things. And in a nutshell, God is telling Job and his friends that I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. I have a plan for all of this, and you're going to have to just trust in me. That's, in a nutshell, that's the book of Job, understanding all the stuff that happened. So let me see here. Who else can I pick on? Rachel, you won't turn there. You might be able to answer this. Job 42:10 says, "How much more," this is a question, "how much more did the Lord give Job after he almost lost everything he had?" Twice as much. So understanding that the Lord allowed Satan to test Job. Remember what the Lord said? And I like the Lord because the Lord knows everything. So you would think Satan was a little bit smarter, but he's not. So when the Lord was talking to Satan, the Lord says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Now, if Satan was smart, which, once again, he's not, I would think, I'm not going to walk into this because I know God knows what he's doing. And I'm not going to challenge him. But you know what Job said? Well, the reason why he has all this stuff is because you protected him. You built a hedge of protection around him. And if you just let me take that hedge of protection around, if you just take that away from him and you let me take his stuff from him, then he'll curse you. And the Lord's like, okay, go ahead, but touch not his body. So, took everything. And what did he say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So then Satan says, well, if you let me do this, then he'll curse you. So the Lord goes, okay, fine then. So he got boils. And Job still remained his integrity before the Lord and maintained his way unto the Lord. And we see that that happened. But after all of that happened, the Lord gave Job double of what he had in the beginning. This should be a lesson to us. We are going to be persecuted. We're going to go through anguish. We're going to go through trials and tribulations. Why? Because you are a child of God and Satan hates you. And he might look at you and want to go after you. And God might allow it. But he is only going to allow it for your benefit. That's hard to have faith in, isn't it? Lord, just go ahead and let Satan have his way with me. Right? But understanding the scriptures and having faith in the scriptures and understanding that he went through all of this and Job was rewarded by God. Do you not think that the one that created everything we see here today and created our tongue, we were talking about the tongue yesterday with my kids, how beautiful it is that we can speak and sing unto God with our tongue, how God made the tongue and how amazing it is. Don't you think the one that created all of that out of nothing can give you a little bit more for the short tribulational period you might go through when it comes to our anguish and our persecution? So I'm glad that Job stayed faithful through all this. Okay, I'll just ask this. Maybe someone can raise their hand if they know this one. Let me see here. Now we're into Psalms. Raise your hand if you know this one. Complete the phrase, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the, what? Anybody know that one? Psalms 11 verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the, what? Whoever wants to raise their hand. Jamie? What can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? Aren't you glad that our foundation, which is Christ, which is the Word of God, cannot be destroyed? So aren't you glad for that? But if the foundation could be destroyed, we are in a lot of trouble, right? We're in a lot of trouble if the foundations be destroyed, but they can't be. So understanding also Psalms 12, verse 6, I'll just ask this question. How many times has the Word of God been purified? Okay, I'm going to ask someone else. You already answered one. Brooklyn, go ahead. 7 times. Okay, so if you've answered a question, try to let someone else do it. Okay, who has said this? Or who has said in his heart that there is no God? All the way in the back? The fool has said in his heart there is no God. The fool has said that. Where did David say the Lord would not leave his soul? Anybody know this one? David said, I know you will not leave my soul in something, a place. Where is that? Let's all turn there real quick. Psalm 16, because I'll tell you what, when as a pastor's kid, knowing the scriptures, this was kind of hard for me to understand, but we have to understand, and I'll explain it in just a moment. But Psalms chapter 16, verse 10, now we're Bible thumpers, we're Bible believers, we're going to preach the Word of God. So here in Psalm 16, verse 10, David says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So remember, David was on this earth before Christ came in his resurrection. So understanding hell is beneath us. Now, before Christ came in his physical body to die on the earth, hell was split in twain. And we see this in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, you have the rich man, you have Lazarus. Remember that? And I'm actually going to mention a little bit of that in my next message. But we understand in the scriptures that hell at this time was split in twain. You had the paradise part of hell, which was considered to be Abraham's bosom. And then you had the other part, and there was a great gulf between these that no one could cross. One person couldn't cross from one to the other. So one side is the paradise side. Those that believed in God and had faith and trust in him went to the paradise part beneath us into actual the word hell. So now when we hear, I don't want to go to hell, or I don't want you to go to hell, that is different than if you said that before Christ came. You understand that, right? Because the beginning part, one side of it was the torment side. You don't want to go on that side, right? And those are all those that did not believe in Christ and trust in him, in God. They were put in the torment side. And then you had the paradise side. The paradise side were those that were sleeping, per se, as the scriptures say, in Abraham's bosom. Now, when Christ came and he looked at the thief on the right and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Verily, means truly, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Why? The Lord went down to the paradise part of hell and delivered those people and brought them up to glory. That's the Bible. That's the word of God. But it doesn't sound right when you first hear it, but that is why we search the scriptures. We search it so we can know these things, but it doesn't sound right at first. Now, you don't want anyone to go to hell. Back then, if you believed, you went to the paradise part of it. Unfortunately, because of the abundance of iniquity, there was a remodel down in hell. Unfortunately. And God, after he delivered those people, now that is one large area of torment. It is a holding place until the lake of fire. That's what it is. So understanding that. Okay, who can answer this one? David said he was able to leap over what? Anybody know this one? Psalms 18:29. I have leaped over a something. Psalms 18:29. Brooklyn, you already answered. Jocelyn, you already answered. Are you just saying hi? Hi, how you doing? Robert? That's right. David leaped over a wall. He's pretty much saying, with God and his strength, I was able to do these things. Okay, so now, I do this every time in the youth department. I'm going to do a couple questions of review. I do this to make sure no one's sleeping in my class. So I'll ask a couple of the youth these questions. Let me see here. Zeke, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant? Good job. Okay, Brianna, who said, dost thou retain thine iniquity? Curse God and? Who said that when he said, curse God and die? Job's wife. That's right. Okay, here, I'll ask Miles this. This is very fitting. You fit. I'll give you a hint. You're in the same category as Josh here, okay? So remember the question Josh had. Man that is born of women. See, it's all the woman's fault is really what it is. So it's what it says here, born of women. You know, that's what it says here. No, I'm just joking. Okay, it says here, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. That's Miles in a nutshell, trouble. Okay, let me see here. Gibson, remember when Job said, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and even though worms destroy this body, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. That's right. Okay, who remembers what animal, you guys, anyone can raise your hand here. Who remembers what animal eateth grass as an ox, whose strength is in his loins, and moveth his tail as a cedar? The behemoth, good job. Okay, the Lord asked Job if he could control or draw out somebody with a hook. Who was that? Ben? Okay, don't speak it. Just raise your hand and I'll call on you. Okay, how much more, can someone raise your hand, how much more did the Lord give Job because he endured temptation? Yes, John. Twice as much. You guys would fit right in my youth class, just so you know. You guys fit right in. That's good. Okay, let me see here. All right, who can raise their hand and answer this one? The words of the Lord are pure words purified how many times? Jason? Good job, seven times. So, this word, you can bank on it, right? You can't bank on CNN, Fox News. You can't, even the most conservative or the most liberal, whatever you put your faith in, and if you put your faith in man at all, you're in trouble. But you can't put your faith in a newspaper. You can't put your faith in an organization. Do you remember when the Boy Scout used to be something that you could maybe somewhat trust in? Well, what about now? They can't even tell you what a boy is. You can't put your faith in anything man establishes. Why is that? Because it hasn't been purified seven times. And that is not of God. But what is of God is his word. Well, that makes it a lot easier because you're coming here and not putting your faith in me. You're not putting your faith in how good our members are. That's not a good thing to do. But you're putting faith in something that's been purified. It's been tested. And it is the word of God. And it is God. Jesus is the word. That's who he is. So that's something that's great. Okay, I'll ask this question. Hell was split into two parts. Who can give me both parts? Someone can raise their hand and tell me who maybe hasn't answered one yet. Somebody? Oh, Lynn was scratching herself. I almost called on her. Okay, I'll give you one. Okay, one of them was the torment side. What was the other side? Jim? Paradise. The paradise part. Remember, that was before Christ went down, and that was the first fruits of the resurrection. That was the first fruits of it, where Christ went down and delivered them all. And then, because of iniquity did abound, because sin did abound, we understand that hell hath now enlarged herself. Unfortunately. It's sad. Let me see here. See if I can ask this question here. I'll ask one more, then we'll pray and dismiss for a few minutes. Who has said in his heart that there is no God? David. The fool. That's right. All right. Thank you all for enduring a normal Sunday school lesson with the youth kids. So now you see what kind of torture I put them through. But and that's the thing. That's the biggest upset that the youth kids have is that if they come up here, it means they don't get any candy. So, you know, so they're a little upset about that. But thank you for being here. I'll dismiss in prayer, and then we'll have a few minutes, and then we'll go ahead and start the next service. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for everyone being here. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you came to establish your church and you gave us your word to help guide us. Help us, Lord, to never stray from the word of God, no matter how unpleasant or how uncommon it is outside these walls. Help us to stay strong in the word of God you've given us and help us to have faith in your soon return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.